Then I went, after that I went into business in the Strand Road with my father, and we stocked boots and shoes and groceries, manures, coal, bicycles, motorcycles.
Everything and anything.
Timber. Any you'd mentioned earlier, you know.
And did you start as a youngster measuring and all this type of thing?
Yes.
Everything had to be weighed?
Everything had to be weighed. Flour came in 10 stone bags, it'd be all weighed out. Sugar and
two stone, half stone. And
yeah, 2 pounds and 1 pound, you know.
My God.
Tea the same way too, it'd be all weighed out. And there was, at that time, there was no plastic bags. You had to wrap bread and brown paper. And everything had to be wrapped up and put a string on it, you know, tied up.
That was your duty, like doing
that? Yes. And then for weighing out snuff, you had to get a bit of newspaper and make a wee poke, wrap it around your fingers and tie it at the bottom. And then when you put in the snuff, weigh the snuff, and put your finger down and close the top of it, your thumb down the top of it. So
you were learning a lot, so.
Yes, and then you wrapped everything in brown paper, and then there was string from the ceiling coming down to the ceiling.
Yeah.
And you didn't use scissors, you just snapped it. When you put the cord around the paper and tied up, you snapped it in with your fingers.
There was a knack to it, though.
It's a knack to it, yes.
You would become just really good at that.
Oh, yes, I was very good at it. Didn't need scissors or a knife,
not at all.
But
everything would have been on, or a lot of it would have been on tick, though, would it?
Like there was a lot of,
you know,
a lot of tick is right, yes.
Yeah. And people would say I'd pay it at the end of the month. Or
pay at the end of the week, you know. Kept a lot of passbooks for the local people.
Yeah.
At that time, the groceries would only come to maybe £1.10 for the week. And they would pay it on a Saturday, you know.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you wouldn't.
Yeah, sometimes it was hard to get. But what about barter? Were they then selling?
Oh, well, you see, the old ladies would bring in the eggs, you see.
Yeah,
you know?
I thought that too.
And they would get tea and sugar and bread against the eggs always, you know. And then there's a lot of trouble with the eggs. The egg inspector was very sharp. The eggs had to be very clean. And then pack them into the cases, you know. And the name of each customer and a wee slip, just, you know, kind of where they came from and all. But
who were the wholesalers then coming to you?
Well, the wholesalers at that time were John McBride of Cranford, O'Neill McHenry's of Bridge End, and for boots and shoes, stuff like that, Ferrier and Pollock of Dublin. And the rep was from Ballybuffet. The rep for Ferrier and Pollock was Mr. McGinty from Ballybuffet, a very nice man. And he sold socks. At that time there was a big demand for Wellingtons, heavy socks.
And heavy boots, of course.
Heavy boots, hobnail boots.
Yeah.
The hobnail boots were from Mullen Mills in Emmy Vale, County Monaghan. But all the drapery was from Dublin, from Ferrier and Pollock. And
the boots, though, were built to last.
But there were a big sale on Long Johns at that time. And what they called summits.
Yeah.
And
there's no style or fashion, but just...
No, the summits, you had cotton summits and you had cashmere summits. The cashmere summits were, I think it was 16 shillings, and the cotton was probably 8 shillings, around that, you know.
So tell me about what the kind of stuff you stocked in the shop, Patrick.
Well, these are some of the items we stocked, and most of these are now discontinued, you know. Like cigarettes, You had Churchman Number One. You had Capstan, Goldfleck, Kerry Blue, Woodbine, Chesterfield. And then you had Beecham's Pills and Powders, Maxmile Razor Blades, Northlight Razor Blades, Players Navy Cut Cigarettes, Full Strength Digger Plug Tobacco, Aaron Moore Plug, Warrior Plug, Chewing Tobacco, Grant Snuff from Buncrana, Spearman Tobacco for chewing. Then, during the wartime, tea was very scarce.
I bet you.
You could, you could buy it on the black market, but it was costing £2 a pound at that time, which is very expensive.
Who could afford that?
But they had a substitute for the coffee during the war years, and it was called Coffee Era. But it was very hard to drink now. It was like coffee dust or something.
People didn't like it at all.
People wouldn't buy it unless they were really stuck for it, you know. Then you had things like Mrs. Cullen's powders and Glober salts, Eno's fruit salts, Cascara, Finnan salts, Friar's balsam, clogs with wooden soles during the wartime, you know.
My God.
Boots and shoes were scarce, you know.
And oil would have been used a lot too, oil, for tally lamps.
Oil and tally lamps.
Yeah.
And then we sold petrol too when my father opened up the shop down there.
So you had a petrol pump?
No, it was all measured out with 2 gallon measures, 2 gallon, 1 gallon and 1/2 gallon measures out of a 500 gallon drum. And I remember, well, I don't remember, but I was told that McFadden's down at Ballyogan, father sent two sons, that's Bill and Danny, up for 2 gallon of petrol, and the price for the petrol was 3 and 6 pence for the 2 gallon, and that was round about 1936 or something around that, I would say, you know, maybe later. But it was very cheap at that time.
It was, you know, when you think of it.
The father drove a Morris Cowley car.
And did your dad then, or, you know, from your shop start to deliver goods out to people like
no,
that?
No, he never delivered. Oh. No, he never delivered, you know. He had a car always, all right, you know. But we had a workshop, the repaired boots and shoes and bicycles.
Repaired?
Yeah.
Right.
And harness. And the first man to work on it was Denny McClafferty from Drum. And he was very good at repairing bikes. And then we had Andy Brown, as then latter years, you know, and he did the same, repaired boots and shoes and harness.
But I suppose more horses were being used at the time than cars.
Oh yes, there was very few cars in the town now at that time, you know, in the 1930s, you know, very few. The only people that had cars would be Mickey Duffy and Mick Kiley and Robert McCoach, my father probably, and Danny Logue. Just would be all the cars in the town at that time.
But as well as that, like Patrick, money was being spent when people didn't have many cars. The money was spent locally, like all the local shops and so on, like yourself. You know, the money was spent there rather when things started to improve.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone got cars and started to go to Letterkenny and Derry and Strabane and so on.
Yes, and up to 1930, every house in the town had a business. It was either dressmaking, shop, jaunting cars, taking visitors, to the hotel, Rosa Penna, from from the ferry.
The visitors were coming here and...
Yeah, the visitors were coming to the Rosa Penna Hotel.
Yeah. And then the fishing was good as well.
Fishing was good, you know. But in early years, all the people around the sea here lived on rabbits and fish and potatoes. I remember my father shooting rabbits always, and we had rabbit for the dinner very often, and fish, because he cured herring too as well, you know.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Right.
He bought herring at Downing's Pier and cured them in barrels. Then he had them all over the winter, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They were sold at 1 and 6 and 2 and 6 a dozen.
They were reasonable, really.
They were very reasonable, yes.
They were plentiful.
And I didn't like selling the herring because you'd put your hand into the barrel, into the brine, and it was very messy, you know.
And that was a job you didn't like too much.
A job I didn't like. Yeah. It was very hard to wrap them up in paper too, because the brine would be running out of the bag, you know.
But there was no calculators then?
No calculators. You had to do everything up in your head.
Yeah.
And if there was a big order, well, you'd have to get a bit of pencil and paper and write down all the prices.
But your mind was, and your brain would be so sharp.
I was very good at adding all those, you know.
Doing it all the time.
I still can do it as quick as a calculator can do it, you know.
You can.
I see the young girls in the shop there, you're all using calculators.
I
could do it up as quick as they could do it.
You would indeed.
In the calculator, you know.
But Patrick, we just before we leave the shop here, you mentioned you were selling wood as well.
Yes, timber. Well, that was finished when I started. You know, the timber was finished. He stopped the timber. Because then you had Kelly's delivering, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
All around.
And he didn't deliver, your dad didn't?
No deliveries at all. No. He didn't do any deliveries.
But then you were selling fertilisers and all that?
Yeah, fertiliser and coal.
Yeah.
Coal and the fertilizer came in at Mulroy Pier on boats in there, you know.
Big shiploads, yeah.
Yeah, shiploads, yes. But
so now the shop, it's changed. You know, when was this built? The centre up here, just which you're still the owner, of course. Like,
no, it's my son that owns.
Oh, your son.
Son that runs the shop now.
Right.
And as well, there's a shop in Falkara, Errigal Stores as well.
All right.
You know, so he's over and back all the time, you know, from Falkara to Kerrygart. But he's a manager in both shops.
But did you see a big change when Cara started life improving in a way?
Oh, yes, big change, certainly, you know.
When cars came, more cars, people weren't, you know, they weren't as restricted to buying in one shop only, and they went off to Letterkenny and
stuff. Sure, yes. Then, in my time, people came from Fannet across in boats, across the ferry to do their shopping in Kerrygart. And they came in boats when the tide would come in.
Just close to your house?
Just below the house there, you know.
Yeah.
To get boots and harness and to buy bicycles, you know. And they had to come when the tide was in there.
Yeah.
But they used to come across in the Michaelhinney's ferry in Mulroy there.
And so you had a booming trade in the town, really.
Yeah. And now on Friday next, the new bridge is opening.
It's going to open, yeah.
And we hope to have all the Fannet ones back
but
here.
But it is true. They will come back to you.
Yeah, well, we hope that they will, you know. But it's been opened next Friday, and I suppose all the politicians and ministers will be all there, you know.
Oh, they will, promoting themselves.